When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. In this second hour, we continue to talk NBA playoff action around the association. The conference final starting last night. It's okay. We got a lot to talk about. You know that we do. You know,
and I circled the bases multiple times, and we're back. We're running backwards now from home to third, to second, to first, back to home again. Tough scene.
You know that we do. Unfortunate DRS, I guess. But the opening game of the Western Conference Finals last night in Oklahoma City, the Thunder, a huge second half, beating the Timberwolves by 30 in the final two quarters to win game number one by 26 in total. The coach, J.Y. James Young, will be here in this second hour to break it all down. He'll also be here to look forward to game number one inside the Garden tonight, between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. Party like it's 2000. The Knicks' first time in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2.5 decades against a very familiar playoff foe, both in recent memory and, of course, for those rivalries in the late 90s and early 2000s. JY will be here in this second hour. Pete Jensen will be here to round out hour number two. The reigning Stanley Cup champions looking at that part last night. The Panthers, an impressive road ice victory in Carolina against the Canes in game number one out west tonight in Big D in Dallas between the Stars and the Oilers. That the stage, DRS, for hour number two.
Yeah, big stage there at Madison Square Garden. We'll have fun talking about that. And also, how many crazy fans will be in attendance outside the building, Ben, when it's supposed to rain all day here in the Northeast? How passionate are those Knicks fans here? And also, how expensive are those tickets in Madison Square Garden for this round? And particularly, if they make it into the finals here, that should be wild to watch out. The superstars, Ben, that are going to line the court, the former players, all the history of New York City, saying this is the mecca of basketball and trying to prove it. We'll get down to all that business. But I just want to say one more thing. Like, we were talking about the tush-push in Major League Baseball and having a good time. And people are saying right now, and rightfully so, like, who's the happiest person in the room? Is it Saquon Barkley? Look into this camera right now, people. Look into my eyes right now. Saquon is not getting a single goal line carry once again next year. So don't go thinking Saquon goes, that's 18 rushing touchdowns. He better get them all outside the red zone, because Jalen Hurts will still be a touchdown merchant inside the 2-yard line. That play is never stopping. In its current form, the way it looks, yes. But after that, he is going to quarterback sneak his way to 15-plus touchdowns next year once again.
DRS, we talked about the number for the Eagles, the reigning Super Bowl champs and the current favorites to win a Lombardi Trophy in 2025 as well. Would that change? Would that shift? Would it move back? Would we be less optimistic about the Birds in their title defense? No. The numbers that might change, though, anytime TD prices on Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, we shall see if what we expect, the tush-push, is banned officially later in the owner meetings today in Minneapolis. Let's set the stage for game number one on maybe the most significant stage in sports, the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden Game number one, Eastern Conference Finals tonight. The New York Knicks, the Indiana Pacers. A minus 144 outright price in favor of New York to win this series. In the familiarity, DRS, between these two franchises and this kind of significant playoff stage cannot be overlooked. Of course, in the late 90s, culminating in that 2000 playoff run, the last time the New York Knicks reached the Eastern Conference Finals, 6 of 8 years. Indiana and New York facing off in the postseason. The last time the Knicks were in the Eastern Conference Finals, they played these Pacers. They lost in 6 games. The last time the New York Knicks reached the NBA Finals, the season prior in 1999. Who do they beat in the Eastern Conference Finals to get there? These Indiana Pacers. But maybe you're a newer NBA fan and you're saying, who cares about the late 90s and 2000? Well, these two teams met last year in the second round of the NBA postseason. It was a sensational series that went to a 7th game inside MSG, and it was Indiana as a road underdog, winning outright in that 7th game to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, a place they have now been 2 straight seasons. So DRS, you see that series outright number, it's pretty tight. How tightly contested is this rendition of the Knicks Pacers in an Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, it looks like, again, same thing I talk about the Western Conference here. We're like, oh, blowout game number one. They're probably going to be a short series. Still think it's going 6 or 7 games out west and have the same optics here on the East Coast. But now, having said that, for the Knicks, like, you line up tonight, you see that minus 144 price in the series. Knicks better win this game tonight because, number one, means, like, you have the 1-0 series lead. Okay, we're in command of the series. Home court advantage is still ours. You don't show up and play very well in this game. And I'm not talking about the Pacers coming in here with a 115-88 win, similar to what you saw per se for the Oklahoma City yesterday. But if the Knicks don't win, that pressure is going to mount so big inside that building and on this basketball team. Like, the pressure is off tonight for the Pacers. Like, this is almost feels like a must-win game number 7 for the Knicks in game number 1 of their series. They can't afford to lose this game because then the Pacers start going like, oh yeah, we are the better team. Now we're going to beat you game 2 in your building, which the Patriots have done in the past year. And now we just have to split back in Indiana and the series will be ours at this point. So I really like the New York Knicks tonight because I think their motivation a little bit differently than the Pacers. And nobody's saying the Pacers don't want to play well or win game number 1 because it doesn't matter. Yes, they do. But the importance for game number 1 for me on the Knicks is immensely higher than what it is on the Pacers because of how closely priced this series is. You can't lose tonight if you're the Knicks. You have to win this game. And by the way, I think they do win this game.
It is interesting, DRS, right? Because through the entirety, basically, of that second round set against the Celtics, after stealing both games in Beantown, game 3 on that Saturday felt like the biggest game inside MSG for the Knicks in 2 decades. Game 4's result, biggest win for the New York Knicks inside the Mecca in 2.5 decades. And then, of course, all culminating in game number 6 to earn that berth to the Eastern Conference Finals, quite literally the largest win for the Knicks in 25 years to get to the Conference Finals once again for the first time since 2000. That mantra kind of carries over each and every time the New York Knicks are going to be at MSG the remainder of this postseason run, however long it lasts. The biggest game for the Knicks in 2.5 decades in a place they have not been since 2000 against that familiar foe in Indiana. 4.5-point spread, by the way, in favor of New York for game number 1 tonight. A total on the rise ever so slightly. The over-under now stands at 224. To Donnie's point, the Knicks a favorite at home. Just the second time New York has been a favorite in their last 7 games, including game number 6 against the Boston Celtics in that second round series. Indiana has been a great underdog this year. We'll highlight those stats in just a matter of moments. But DRS, when you compare these two teams, there is so much to be said. Again, they know each other from last year. The Pacers deserve a ton of credit, having pulled off gentlemen sweeps in each of their first 2 series, taking advantage of some good injury luck, sure, but doing so rather quickly in 5 games against Milwaukee, in 5 games against the East number 1 overall seed in Cleveland. With the addition of Carl Anthony Towns in the offseason, the Knicks had the second best price to be here, to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Pacers, despite being the team to get there a season ago, 21-1. I think this is a very evenly matched set between Indiana and New York.
Yes, I do. And it's going to be a great series all the way through. Two really good starting lineups. And the best thing we're not talking about, Ben, in Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals, injuries to star players. Keep everybody healthy. We'll have nice extended series. Right. We'll have enjoyment here and a lot of good talking points here for both of those conferences.
Our coach, Jay Wyatt, joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Live right here on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. There is so much to get to in Coach's scouting report for a Wednesday in the NBA postseason. A recap and a breakdown of what went right for Oklahoma City and maybe what went wrong for Minnesota in game number one last night of the Western Conference Finals. Before we look ahead and preview game number one of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight inside Madison Square Garden between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. JY, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here on TEL.
It's great to be here. Obviously, a big night. We keep saying this with the Knicks, biggest home game in 25 years. We set a game three. We set a game four. We set a game six. And we're going to say and talk about a little bit later how it's the biggest game tonight.
Maybe the biggest game for Oklahoma City in nearly a decade. Mm-hmm. Last night in OKC, opening game of the Western Conference Finals, the Thunder and the T-Wolves. OKC into the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2016 when guys named Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were leading that Thunder franchise. First time for this young core led by head coach Mark Daigneault and, of course, the presumptive NBA MVP in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander against a Minnesota team on this stage for a second straight year. And it was Minnesota, coach, with a 4-point lead at the break. And then in the second half, it was all OKC. They win the final two quarters by 30 to win game number one as a whole by 26. 114-88. What was the key to OKC's dominance in those final two quarters?
Honestly, Ben, you have to look at a team that literally leaned on their defense. If you would have told me the way SGA and Jalen Williams would have started this game, I think shooting about 4 for 24 for 21 in the first half, you would say, oh my God, they're in trouble. But I think that's really what I've liked about this Oklahoma City team, that they don't get enough credit is they're the top-ranked defense in the NBA. And their ability to grind your gears and lean on their defense until their offense gets going. You've seen that time and time again by this Oklahoma City team. And at some point, kind of like the last 3 or 4 minutes of game number 7 against Denver, they're going to get a run, because their defense will fuel their offense. It happened at the break. They obviously held Minnesota to, I believe, I want to say maybe 22, 23% shooting in the second half, and really just allowed Jalen Williams and some of the other guys to get going with their performances. So, you know, a shout out to them just being mature enough mentally to just play better, you know, guard the 3-point line better, have a team shoot 5 for 23 in the second half, and they just leaned on their defense. That's what's good, what you need to do in the playoffs, Ben, because teams are going to bring it on their side defensively. You have to grind their gears for 48 minutes, and then when you get a run, you capitalize on it. And that's exactly what Oklahoma City did last night.
Yeah, played well in the second half, no doubt about it here, obviously, and we keep bringing up the 68 wins in the regular season. It's no fluke. Oklahoma City's a really good team. No surprise that they won that game going away, which I thought they would win that game by double digits, which then puts the microscope here. We'll get to game number two and the odds itself, but the series prices, because it doesn't change for me, Coach. I thought OKC was the team to be in game number one, and they would easily dispatch a Minnesota, and they did that. But I actually like Minnesota in game number two. Talk to me about the price points right now for the series, where OKC at FanDuel, -750 to win the series, and the Minnesota Timberwolves at a +530.
Well, simply put, you know, if Minnesota is going to get back into this series, they need Anthony Edwards to be better in game two than he was in game one. Yeah. Julius Randle can't be Batman. He's got to be Robin. And if you expect Julius Randle to give you this performance in game number two, you're going to be mistaken, because there's going to be a slight regression, at least with Julius, who's been fantastic during his postseason. So it's one of these things. I thought that it could be a five-game series going to it for the Thunder. So if you think that maybe Minnesota could come back and steal game two to level it up going back to Minnesota, then wait, then jump on, obviously, Oklahoma City at that point. But to me, you know, there's too many weapons on that other side with Oklahoma City that if they play defense, they have enough guys that someone's going to go off, whether it's Chet, whether it's SGA, whether it's Williams, Hartenstein, give you some points. Lou Dort can knock down some threes, right? The guys off the bench, Isaiah Joe, Kaysen Wallace, they hit you in waves so that their defense is there, their offense can carry it through. But like you said, if you think game two is a spot for Minnesota and you want to bet the series, wait, let them win, then jump on it after game two as the lines move.
Another quick turnaround in the Western Conference Finals. Game number two tomorrow night on a Thursday evening in Oklahoma City. The Thunder, a 7.5-point favorite. OKC has been at least a 5-point favorite in all 12 of their playoff games. Now, in a total that stayed well under tonight, last night has dropped well by a few points here for game number two. 218 and a hook it closed yesterday, now 214. JY, it seems as though you expect this to be a quick series. For others that believe the T-Wolves will scratch and claw their way back into this to extend its duration, how critical is the result of game two in deciding just how long the Western Conference Finals goes?
Ben, it's not even if they win or if they lose, it's how, right? If you have Minnesota play really well and they get lose by 10, 15 points, no doubt starts to come into your mind. Like, Minnesota's got to play well, really well in this series. But here's the thing. I just don't know if they have enough offensive firepower. I mean, you just look at the second half shooting 35%, and, you know, a team that leaned a little bit on their bench. You have Dante DiVincenzo, Naz Reid-Gall combined 3-for-14 from the floor. So it wasn't just Ant. It was a lot of other guys besides Julius Randle who didn't play well. I just don't see how this changes as long as Oklahoma City is dialed in. As these games get away from teams, Oklahoma City's going to run away with it. The problem you have with Oklahoma City are tight games. Watch the game closely. If Minnesota loses close, maybe you can believe a little bit. But if they get beat up by 10, 15, 20 points, this thing may be over. And they may not even come back to Oklahoma City for a game five.
Ooh, tomorrow night, very critical for Minnesota to stay close. They have now been an underdog four times in this playoff run, 2-2, both straight up and against the spread. We shall see. They will need more out of Anthony Edwards, that being the T-Wolves. They'll need a lot more out of their offensive pieces off the bench. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Dante DiVincenzo, and Naz Reid, who is 0-for from deep. Those three combined to be 5 of 28 from three in game number one. Now we head to Madison Square Garden. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number one tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals inside the world's most famous arena. That's Madison Square Garden, a renewal of a long-standing playoff rivalry, both in the 90s and even as of last year. It's the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks. Our coach, J.Y. James Young, is here to break it down, to look at this series on its opening night. and of course to go thoroughly through game number one, the players that will impact the outcome and the flow that we will see tonight inside the Met. JY, let's start with the series overall. Expected to be tight. The New York Knicks, a minus 144 series outright favorite, but you see it there and what the odds makers expect. The most likely duration is a full seven games at that plus money price. JY, at highbrow and at first blush here for this series, how competitive do you expect it to be between the Knicks and the Pacers?
The complete opposite of the Western Conference. If this thing, honestly, Ben, doesn't go seven, I may be stunned. I think this is going to be razor thin. You have two competitive teams, two fan bases that hate each other. The rivalry runs way deep back to when they started playing against each other in the 1992 playoffs with the John Starks headbutt of Reggie Miller. You can keep going. You can go to 94 with the 25-point fourth quarter in game five. Knicks win game seven. The finger roll in 95. Ewing gets hurt in a four-point play. Knicks take him out and 99. Pacers get him back in 2000. The Roy Hibbert block on Carmelo Anthony. Yes, I have some beautiful memories, and I have some battle scars from watching this rivalry, and it's going to be come out in full force. Ben, I expect this to be tight. I expect this to go seven. That's why the odds, the shortest odds for this series is seven, and that's why there's no reason for you to bet over 1.5 games at minus 188 unless you're going to parlay it with something else where you could get, you know, get it close to even money in a parlay. It's going seven. I fully expect maybe six, but there's no way this is a 4 or 5 game series. Way too competitive teams, two really good coach teams, and it will be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, Pacers getting a lot of respect here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win this series at only a plus 122 price here. But if we do look at the series overall, Coach, give me maybe a player or two or a matchup that you are looking forward to watching and maybe a team that has an advantage somewhere against the other team.
Well, when you really kind of look at it here, you know, it, to me, it's what you get out of Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns had averaged 30 points a game versus the Pacers during the regular season. I think that's going to be the critical matchup that we see is how they guard Cat. Can he get going at the three-point line? So I think that's one thing you want to look at as possibly a series price is looking at Karl Anthony Towns at 5-1 to lead the series in scoring. I think if you look at what they're going to do with Jalen Brunson, you're going to have multiple defenders, Nembhard, Naismith, going against him. So I think you'll see a better TJ McConnell. So I think you look at someone like Karl Anthony Towns to be able to score the ball. But then you may see a regression in rebounding because he's got to go guard Miles Turner on the perimeter. So where do you look there? Look to Josh Hart possibly to lead the series in rebounding. Also because of the fact the Knicks may go double big at times with Mitchell Robinson has been effective during the playoff run. So look for someone like Josh Hart. It was at 6-1. It's already down to plus 440. Josh Hart, most total rebounds in the series.
You see the tail of the tape and the comparison there. There is much history, both the longstanding history from the 90s into 2000. The last time the New York Knicks played in the Eastern Conference Finals, they lost in six games to the Indiana Pacers. The last time New York reached the NBA Finals was the year prior in 99. They beat the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. And even that recent history between these two sides, a Game 7 last year in the second round, Indiana triumphant in a stunning way inside Madison Square Garden. And a budding rivalry, perhaps inside the ring, yeah, that would be the wrestling ring, between Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton, who, Coach, they have the two best prices, of course, to win Eastern Conference Finals MVP. Brunson, a minus money favorite. Where might you see some value in the ECF MVP odds?
It's the third guy, Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, he's the third best odds at 13-1 because I just looked at 30.3 points per game, including a 40-point game in the third matchup. I don't know if they have the defensive tenacity in the front court. I know Miles Turner's a good shot blocker, but he don't want that smoke and he don't want to come out to the perimeter. Cat 13-1, that could be a play for you to take for Eastern Conference MVP.
Yeah, it's a really good look with a ton of plus money to win the Conference Finals MVP award named after Larry Bird. That's the series as a whole. Let's dive deep into game number one with JY on the other side of the break on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The opening game of the 2025 Eastern Conference Finals tonight inside Madison Square Garden between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. Our coach, J.Y. James Young, here for a third consecutive segment. We talked the series overall, how tightly contested we expect. J.Y. thinks we're going the full duration and distance to seven games. It was a seven-game series between these two clubs last year in the second round of the 2024 NBA playoffs. What might we see here? Starting with game number one tonight. 4.5-point spread in favor of the Knicks. The over-under stands at 224. JY, you expect a close and competitive series throughout. How does it begin tonight inside the Mecca?
You know, Donnie made a good point before I came on talking about the pressure that's on the New York Knicks in this game. And there is immense pressure when you have a seven-game series that's this tight. You don't want to give up home court advantage, and you definitely don't want to give it up after game one. So there is pressure on the Knicks. What do I expect the most, guys? I expect this game to go over 224. Listen, Indiana is going to test New York in regards to the fact that Rick Carlisle is going to run 9 to 10 guys at Tips. He's going to dare Tips to probably give Deuce McBride, he'll get his minutes, obviously, Mitch Robinson. He may force Campaign or Precious Achiuwa or Larry Shamet to give him a couple of minutes because Indiana's going to play up tempo. What also gives it the chance to go over 224 is the fact that all three games during the regular season went over this mark. And then you also look at the fact that neither team, the last team that was played was the Knicks, on Friday night. We all talked about this should have been probably Tuesday. They should have played, but this is an extra day of rest for the Knicks as well. I think over 224 is a play. I expect it to get up and down. And if we expect a close game, guys, then we're also thinking stop clock fouls at the end of the game, which can give you more points.
Yeah, it should be interesting to watch it play out, too, because both of these teams coming in healthy, both of these teams coming in rested, we should get a pretty good performance out of both sides here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. 60% of those tickets coming in on the Indiana Pacers tonight, getting 4.5 points. And you saw that graphic at minus 190. We're now pushing over a minus 200 for the money line for the New York Knicks tonight. Big things are expected, and in big games, you expect your biggest players to perform accordingly here. Tyrese Halliburton's points prop in this game, over 18.5 currently right now at a plus 100. Price. Jalen Brunson, 28.5, is over at a juiced minus 106, so a little bit less there. If we start with the superstars here, right, and we're just looking at Halliburton and Jalen Brunson, effects on game number one, how do we anticipate both of those players playing? Because the reason I bring this up is SGA gave you exactly what we thought yesterday, Coach, right? Low 30s, he hit that. But Anthony Edwards didn't perform all that well. If we're looking at Halliburton and Brunson, how do we think the game plays out for those two superstars on the respective teams?
I'm going to go with a little bit of a different take. I want people to hear me out. If I'm looking at Brunson, I'm looking at the assists more than the points. If I'm Rick Carlisle, I'm running other guys at Jalen Brunson. I'm trying to wear him out. I may run double teams on pick and roll situations to get the ball out of hand and let other people beat me. So that means the assist prop at 7.5, I would look to go over. If it's and honestly, with the Knicks, that may play into the Knicks' hands because I actually think the Knicks are better when that ball is spraying around. Think about how they played in Game 6 versus Boston. It was because other people are kind of getting involved. So now you go to the Knicks' side, and what are you concerned about Halliburton doing? His ability to create for everyone else, because if you look at it at the end of the day, is that's what he does as good as any point guard in the NBA. So what do you do if you're New York? Maybe you try to make them more of a score first guard so he takes other guys away. So I would look at Halliburton over 18.5 points. Maybe he gets Mikal Bridges into foul trouble. I would look at over the points for Halliburton, over for the assists for Jalen Brunson.
31 points for Tyrese Halliburton in that Game 5 series clincher in Cleveland. It's been about 8 days since we last saw Indiana on the floor. One of the keys for the Pacers, both this year and a season ago, the balance and the depth that Rick Carlisle's crew has in 7 of their 8 victories so far in this NBA playoff run, they've had at least six guys in double figures. The only win where they did not have at least six in double digits, that was the Game 5 series clincher against Cleveland. On the other side, JY, we know Tom Thibodeau's rotation may be a little bit more tight than what we will see out of the Pacers in this Eastern Conference Finals. And one guy you highlighted above all else, that's Karl-Anthony Towns. His points prop for game number one of the Eastern Conference Finals stands at 22.5. If the New York Knicks are going to take game one inside MSG tonight, what does New York need out of Cap?
They need about 25 points. So I think you're going right to where I'm thinking about, right? With that's over 22.5 points for Karl-Anthony Towns. And like I said, averaged 30.3 points per game in the three series games versus Indiana during the regular season. So I look at Kat as looking the guy to go over. You also mentioned the bench play of Indiana. That's going to be a key. So the guy I'm looking at is actually a former Knick. And that's Obi Toppin, over 7.5 points. I know he went under 5 of the 6 games in the previous years versus Cleveland. This is going to go more up and down a little bit. They're going to use Obi to kind of get out in transition and make run, which honestly forces the Knicks to get back and use their legs. I think not in the last 12 games, including the playoffs, Obi Toppin's going to over 7.5 points. Look for Obi Toppin to get about 10 points tonight. Oh, Obi, over 7.5 points tonight.
Yeah, but Miles McBride, coach, come on, man. 6.5 points in game number one. A couple triples from deep. And by the way, just to let you know, I do think Karl-Anthony Towns has a decent night. But you know where I went? I went an under prop on Karl-Anthony Towns. Under 1.5 three-point shots made at plus money. It's been 7 games since he made more than one triple. Do I expect him to knock one down? Yes, but not two. But give me a little Miles McBride. Give me somebody way down that list. Maybe a TJ McConnell or even a Josh Hart at this point. Who exceeds expectations for game number one that we can dabble in? Yeah, forget Obi.
Well, I think yes, Obi's one, but Deuce could get loose. I don't know. It's deep. We're not talking like PJ Tucker 3.5 when he was with Milwaukee deep.
That's deep. Drop a triple.
Yeah, just hit a 3 and a foul shot, and you get over to 3.5. But yeah, I think Deuce could get loose up for about 6.5. Listen, Deuce obviously played Donnie much better in a series versus Boston than versus Detroit because he's going to have to get extended minutes and they're going to have to get blows. I think Deuce can get loose and knock down a couple of threes. You also mentioned the pest, and that is McConnell. And this McConnell has done he's going to be a critical part in the series because if you guys remember last year, he got into it a little bit with Jalen Brunson at times during the series. So I do look at another player a McConnell to go over his points prop. The bench is where you're going to find your value because those guys are going to get extended run in this series, especially if you expect it to be a 7-game series. These guys got to get a lot of run, particularly more on the front end to kind of save their legs because remember, guys, this series only one, I think it's only one day in between every game for I think the totality of the series. So you got to use your bench guys a lot.
Yeah, you certainly do. JY, I do think in that series against Boston, even with a healthy Jason Tatum, one of the key differences for New York, the excellent wing play out of OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges, as we saw in that Game 6 finale. Those two combining for 45 points, Anunoby 23, 22 out of Bridges, each hitting 4 triples. How critical are both of those wings for Tibbs and the Knicks in this Eastern Conference Finals?
You know where we're going. They'll be serving for hopefully all 7 games, and that's Wingstop. So you could look at either OG Anunoby over 1.5 steals at minus 122, or the same thing with Mikal Bridges over 1.5 steals at plus 116. Why? Because Mikal's going to have the primary assignment versus Halliburton, and then OG's going to have the primary assignment versus, obviously, Pascal Siakam. And those are the two primary ball handlers, and it's also the two primarily guys that set the teammates up. So maybe look at steals or stocks, if you could find them, for both Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby.
JY, an excellent breakdown today here on this Wednesday on the Early Line. Looking forward to game number one tonight inside Madison Square Garden between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. An early fadeaway? We've got about 17 seconds left.
Hey, it's a little outdoor, old school. Little, hey,
right, 99. I'm going to Donnie.
He's not going to pass.
JY.
No, he's not going to pass.
He's just next city, man.
What is that? I'll shoot it myself.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The conference finals now underway, not just in the NBA playoffs, but also in the Stanley Cup postseason, beginning last night in Raleigh, North Carolina, in the Eastern Conference Finals in its opening game between the Carolina Hurricanes and our reigning Stanley Cup champs in the Florida Panthers. To break it all down bright and early here on this Wednesday, we welcome in the NHL's Pete Jensen right here to the early line on Sports Grid. Pete, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Of course, and yeah, nothing has changed, right? The Florida Panthers are their same dominant self from each of the past two postseasons. They're even deeper this year with what they got going on in their third line. These guys, Marchand, Luostarinen, Lundell, have quietly been some of the best point producers in the entire league this postseason. Maybe we'll get a collision course with Edmonton from last year, but I'm leaning Dallas a little bit, but really, really great to be on with you guys again.
And we'll look forward to game number one tonight in Big D between the Stars and the Oilers in just a moment. But Pete, last night, game number one of the Eastern Conference Finals. The reigning Stanley Cup champs, the Florida Panthers, who have been in the Eastern Conference Finals for three straight years, trying to get to the Stanley Cup Final for a third consecutive season. And 2 years ago in 2023, it was a four-game quick sweep over these Carolina Hurricanes. But with home ice advantage, would the Canes be able to stand tall this time? The answer, not so much. The Panthers dominant in game number one, a 5-2 victory as a slight road ice underdog in game number one against Carolina. Dominant, Pete, impressive, another way to use that word last night. How would you describe Florida's performance in game number one?
Well, I mean, they're the road warriors. I know they lost games one and two in Toronto, but we all saw what they did to absolutely dominate the Maple Leafs in both games, five and seven of that series. And they kind of controlled the series from the jump against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round and made quick work of them. And then now all of a sudden you see the previously unbeaten Carolina Hurricanes on home ice take a fall in game one, and all of a sudden the Florida Panthers, I feel like quietly, and not enough people are talking about this, the Florida Panthers, through eight road games this postseason, have a plus 20 goal differential on the road. Wow. I mean, that is unbeatable, right? Nobody's going to beat them if they keep that up. I don't know if they can keep the shooting percentage up. I am noticing that they have a pretty even shots on goal for versus shots on goal against in road games this postseason. So maybe they're playing a little over their heads, but I think this is just an extremely deep team that is taking advantage of its opportunities and kind of silencing its critics that are saying they've played too much hockey over the past couple of years. No, they're even more equipped than they've ever been, I think.
Yeah, they look sensational right now, too, and now securing home ice advantage here. We'll see if they can hold on with another win in Carolina. If we reassess the series here, Pete, we take a look at the Florida Panthers. Still another game number two on the road, but they are the favorites now at a minus 240 price to win this series. Updated here from the graphic that you see, plus 195 here for the Carolina Hurricanes. And also, the spread now goes to Florida minus 1.5 games, and the shortest games for the series at plus 185 for a game number six. Obviously, we know these are two good hockey clubs. We don't expect it to be a short series, but looking at game number one and trying to project it into game number two, what do we need to see differently to even win the series here for the Carolina Hurricanes now in an 0-1 deficit?
Right. Off that note of what you said, I still expect this series to go to six games. You know, maybe Florida closes it out in game six. I could see that. But I picked Carolina to win the series because they do dominate everybody at possession. And you even look at the shots on goal discrepancy last night. It was heavily in favor of the Carolina Hurricanes, even though they lost the game, even though they allowed five goals. Problem is the high danger shots on goal. They had more than Florida, 7-5. They just Florida scored three high danger goals. They scored two. So Freddie Anderson came back down to earth a little bit in that game last night after previously being like almost unflappable in the series against Washington facing high danger shots. He barely allowed any goals in that whole series. So I think Carolina needs to you know, clean up a little bit when Florida is in the cycle a little bit. I think you can see Carolina was out of their comfort zone a little bit because they're used to just completely devastating these other teams in terms of possession, and Florida's in terms of like shot attempts percentage and offensive zone time, they're number two behind the Hurricanes in both of those categories and really strong in the regular season as well. So it's like Carolina kind of got a taste of its own medicine a little bit. I would expect a bounce back in game two. They really need game two if they have any chance to win this series.
And the man known as Playoff Bob, Sergei Bobrovsky, for the Florida Panthers, fantastic in net last night with 31 saves. Carolina, a minus 130 home ice favorite for game number two tomorrow night in Raleigh. Let's head out west. It's the Edmonton Oilers. It's the Dallas Stars. Game number one tonight in Dallas. And despite the Stars being at home, having home ice advantage, and even a slight favorite, Pete, for game number one, it's the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid as a slight, and I mean ever so slight, series outright favorite. Minus 118, the price on Edmonton. Minus 102 on the other side for Dallas. Pete, 16 cents of difference. That's it. How competitive is the Western Conference Finals about to be?
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, you have three of the superstars in the league, whether you talk about McDavid, Draisaitl, and then also Mikko Rantanen, and remember, has reminded everybody this postseason that even without Nathan MacKinnon, he's still a top 10 player in the NHL. And, you know, nobody can really debate that after what he's done with his clutch performances, two hat tricks in this postseason. So I'm interested to see how the speed goes in this series. I think it has a chance to be a higher scoring. Edmonton likes to play that topsy-turvy style. Curious to see how Stuart Skinner does with back-to-back shutouts. Is that going to continue? Probably not, but can he find enough consistency? That's a huge key. And also the secondary scoring. On paper, I give Dallas a sizable advantage in secondary scoring based on what I've seen for the entire postseason and regular season at large. But this playoffs, Edmonton has been a lot better with the Evander Kane coming back. Remember, he missed the whole regular season. He's injected some life into this team. Connor Brown, Corey Perry, they need these guys to keep it rolling, and they need Skinner to be as consistent as possible against, I think, the most loaded forward group in the league.
We'll talk game number one tonight in Dallas between the Stars and the Oilers with Pete up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number one of the Western Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight in Dallas. It's the Stars and the Oilers. Edmonton trying to get back to the Cup Final for a second consecutive season. Of course, Edmonton trying to bring the Cup back to the Great White North for the first time in more than three decades. Pete Jensen of the NHL here once again on this Wednesday morning. Pete, let's dive in to game number one tonight in Big D. The Stars, as we shared, a slight series outright underdog, but Dallas, the home ice favorite tonight for the opening game of the Western Conference Finals, a minus 128 number on the money line, a rather lofty total of 6.5. Pete, what do you expect the flow to look like tonight in Dallas between the Stars and the Oilers to kick off the Western Conference Finals?
Well, both teams have really good power plays. We know Edmonton has for a long time. The real strength of Edmonton has become the 5-on-5 play. They dominated the Golden Knights at 5-on-5, 14-7 in the second round, which is like a complete flip-flop compared to what happened when the Oilers lost to Vegas a couple of years ago in the playoffs when they were dominated at 5-on-5. And I believe that was the year when Vegas won the Cup. So Oilers are playing with a different type of purpose at 5-on-5, not as reliant on the power play, whereas Dallas is great at special teams. That's why they've gotten to this point against, you know, the Avalanche and then the Winnipeg Jets. They have had a robust penalty kill, always one of the best in the league. And then their power play has just been clicking. And power play goals in, I believe, at least a power play goal in 10 of their 13 games this postseason. You wonder if they cool off there, maybe Edmonton could, you know, win one of these games in Dallas, but Dallas is 6-1 at home this playoffs. That's been a good sign for me with the Stars. The past 2-3 years prior to this postseason, they were dropping some big game fives, game sevens. Remember some of those games that were getting blown out in like really important home games during the playoffs for whatever reason? I think they've corrected that. That's really important for Dallas to get at least one of these two home games. They're certainly capable of getting both.
Superstars all the way around in the hockey's version of the Final Four. You take a look at Connor McDavid in the odds to win the Conn Smythe, the favorite right now, Pete, at a +380 price. Mikko Rantanen, as we talked about, a +480. And the goalie starts to show up here. Sergei Bobrovsky at a +550 price. If we're looking at some of these odds with this odds market right now, who are we sort of leaning to at this point right now, Pete, for you?
So I like Rantanen a lot. If the Stars win the Cup, it could even be one of those situations where like the losing team could have the winner like we had last year because of the narrative that Rantanen has scripted with all these, you know, 3-point games left and right and the hat trick and assist in game seven of the first round. Remember, it's an award that kind of rewards a player for the entire postseason, not just the Cup final. For Florida's end, I feel like people are sleeping on Brad Marchand. I mentioned that how good the Panthers have been at 5-on-5 and even strength points and that third line. Luis Dorainen actually is playing on the third line with Marchand, and since the start of the second round, Luis Dorainen is leading the entire NHL in even strength points, and Marchand's right behind him. So Florida's one of those teams, like, right, they won it last year. They didn't even give it to one of their players. Always a tough team to pinpoint, but Marchand has been an excellent addition, as expected, after a banged-up regular season. He has been the best player for the Panthers so far this postseason, so maybe worth a long-shot look there if you're looking at the Panthers to win this thing.
Mikko Rantanen did not record a point for Dallas in Game 5 or 6 in the series win against Winnipeg. The horror we would expect. He is pretty good tonight on home ice in Dallas in the opening game of the Western Conference Finals. Pete, the updated Stanley Cup Final odds with where the Panthers are with a dominant performance in Game 1, +175. The Oilers slightly in front of Dallas. Of course, they are the slight favorites to win the Western Conference Finals. Pete, are we about to see a rematch of last year's Cup Final here in 2025?
Could certainly happen, but not so fast. I like the Stars. They're being a little underestimated right now. Maybe it's because of reliance on special teams, or maybe it's just because everybody's hot on the Oilers and, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl are playing out of their minds and they're getting the goaltending. But I would give a distinct advantage in the crease to Dallas entering the series. And remember, they got through the first round without Jason Robertson and Miro Heiskanen, and both of those guys are back. Maybe Robertson's due to break through for his first goal of the playoffs in game one. And then I think that with Heiskanen, just him complimenting Thomas Harley. Thomas Harley, I think, has been the unsung hero of the entire playoffs offensively. And now they got Heiskanen back. So a really difficult beast to tame.
Pete, we appreciate it always. Hour 3 next.